So on top of being satisfied, years ago in the 60s, the Rolling Stones had a song, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. It was a huge hit because most of us, if not all of us, just can't get no satisfaction. Because life's one of those things that looks like it's just about to give it to you. It looks like you've hit it. It looks like you've got to the money pit. It looks like you've hit the jackpot, and it's never quite enough, or it's not what it seems. And they had a line in the song, I try and I try and I try, but I just can't get no satisfaction. And then Britney, you know Britney Spears? In 2000, she decided I need to do the same. So she brought out the same song, only kind of redid it a tiny bit, and she said the same thing. I try and I try and I try, but I just can't get any satisfaction. And maybe you're here today as a Christian, or maybe you're just here in general and you're saying the same thing. I'm trying and I'm working hard and I'm going here, I'm going there, but I just can't get any satisfaction. Well, we're going to go back to John chapter 4 again, and we're going to look at the woman at the well, but I want us to get to the next part of it. And the idea is that if we're satisfied, we're full. We have been filled up, we are overflowing, we are full, and we feel content, and every area of our lives feels full and satisfied. And so the woman at the well, and it comes to John chapter 4, verse 13. We'll read the verses again, only I want to tag on verse 15. And it says this, anyone who drinks this water, Jesus was talking about the water in the well, will become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give them will never thirst again. He's making a separation. There's two different types of water here. There's one that's going to last forever, and there's one that's going to run out. Which one do you want? It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. And then verse 15 is what I love, because the woman says, hey, this is what I need. She says, please, sir, the woman said, give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water. She's like, wow, this is a great day. Please, sir, can I have this water? Do you remember back to Oliver Twist? And there was a line in the play, or if you watched the video, or watched the movie, or you read the book, but the same line was right there. Please, sir, can I have some more? Oliver's in the orphanage, and he's hungry, and he asks the guys in charge. He says, please, sir, can I have some more? And it feels like in life, this is the question that always needs answered. Please, sir, can I have some more? It's like my bank account. It seems full right now, but then it's going to run out. I'm going to have to say, please, sir, can I have some more? To my boss, to my mom and dad, to wherever you go to. But it's the same with life. It never seems to fully satisfy, and then this day, everything changed. And she was like, please, sir, I'll have some of that because I don't want to come here anymore. And this is the life that Jesus won for us, for everyone who turns to him, everyone who says yes to him. He says, hey, you don't have to continue to say, please, sir, can I have some more? You can say, please, sir, cannot be it. And he'll come and he'll say, wow, yes, I'll come and I'll save your life. I'll come and I'll fill your life. I'll come and I'll transform your life, and you won't have to come here anymore. I won't have to come to get water here. Wow. It almost feels in that moment, she felt the weight of the work. And she says, wow, could I be free from that? And Jesus says, yes. This is the kind of satisfaction I want us to talk about today. This is the kind of satisfaction I want us to explore. And whether you're a Christian or not, I think we can all find ourselves in a place that even if we know, should know better, we're still looking for something. And we don't quite know that satisfaction. But today we will, as we explore the things of God. The woman that day found Jesus the Savior. And I wonder if you find Jesus the Savior, because he is absolutely incredible. And we need saved. We need saved from the life. We need saved from the rat race of life. We need saved from the pressures of life, from the police serve, can I have some more, to always having to go here, go there, go everywhere, never quite getting enough. I want to meet Jesus the Savior, because when I do, he will fully satisfy me. And he will give me water that will last. And here's what Jesus was saying that day. You can have temporal water, and it satisfies to a point, and it saves to a point, and it helps to a point, and it quenches your thirst to a point, or you can have water that's eternal. This is the difference with God. It's not just temporal, but it's eternal. It's not just enough, but it's more than enough, because eternity lasts forever, in case you forgot. Eternity lasts forever, and the Bible's very clear. There's two directions to go here, hell or heaven. Which one do you want to go? You can have the water that you're always going to have to top up, but eventually one day will come that you can't top up any longer. and then you find yourself in a place you don't want to be, which is hell. Or you can turn your life to Christ, which is far, far better, and he will give you eternal water, which you can have eternal life, and you can have eternal satisfaction, and suddenly life makes sense, and you're out of the wrestle and the struggle and the issues of life, and you're into his arms, and he is your comfort, and he's your peace. And now when you have to fight through life, you fight with someone, and you fight from a place of rest, not from a place of struggle. This is why God is so good. He promises to give us something that will last. Life's always saying, can I have more? You know, job, can I have more? Your boss can have more. Can you do more hours? Can you come here more? Your kids, can I have more? My kids, I love them and they love me, but they just ask me the same thing over and over again. Can I have more, Dad? Can I have more? And they're not bad. They're not, you know, they're good, but they just want more because they want to be satisfied. They want more because that's life never quite gives you what you need. It always leaves you pining for more. But with Jesus, I can have more than enough. That's the crazy thing, isn't it? You can have more than enough, and he fully satisfied. And it's not what we're all looking for. How can I have that feeling? How can I fill that void? How can I be fully satisfied? Jesus is the answer. He's still the solution. Isn't that amazing? After all these years, 2,000 odd years, he's still the solution for the world, and he's still the solution for me or you. And that's what we need. And so I had a bit of fun. Well, not a bit of fun, but I did a bit of study online just to see what was coming up, just from a general everyday thing of why people aren't satisfied. And I tell you, some of the five things I found were absolutely mind-blowing. I want to share them with you today. Number one, you have unrealistic expectations. You simply have unrealistic expectations. You know, when you have unrealistic expectations, it leads to frustration and disappointment. Every single time, unrealistic expectations. I feel like I'm going to get this, or I feel like this is going to happen, or this is always going to work out, or that's going to change, or this is going to turn around. Unrealistic expectations, where you hope beyond hope, where you expect beyond expectation, and all you wind up doing is feeling deflated, disappointed, frustrated, fed up, and maybe even angry. And it doesn't get any better, and it seems to accumulate, and then it's like it's this vicious circle of you just decide, you know what, forget it. I'm not even expecting anymore. But unrealistic expectations is part of the top five reasons why people feel dissatisfied or never feeling truly satisfied. Number two, you don't know what you want. I mean, come on, let's be real. We don't really know what we want. If we did, we'd go and get it. We don't really know what we want. But here's what number three is. Number three is you know what you want, but you find that it's too tricky, so you settle for something less. You go for something that's easier, an easier win, an easier grab, an easier one that you can make happen today rather than having to wait for tomorrow. Isn't it amazing that sometimes the things that are worth waiting for are actually worth waiting for? The things that really are worth something take time to happen. And if you try and grab them today or yesterday, they're not quite what they wanted. They're not quite what you wanted, and they don't turn out the way you hoped for. You see, it's like we don't really know what we want, but then when we get a glimpse of what we think we want, then we shortcut it to get it quicker because it's just not worth the wait. Or is it? And I'm going to tell you, it absolutely is. Things that are worth it are worth the wait. We have to realize that sometimes the delay is part of the destination. Sometimes the delay is part of the goodness. The delay, the destination, the journey is part of what makes it so good. When we get things too quickly, when we circumvent, when we shortcut and we settle for less or we go for this thing instead, it's never quite what we hope for. These are some of the main reasons why we don't get the satisfaction that we're chasing. We shouldn't settle. We shouldn't give up. Number four, you focus on the negative. This is a surefire way. If you focus on the negative, this is bound to happen. You're not going to feel the satisfaction that you want because we need to be positive people. But we need to be more than that. We need to be faithful people who know the word of God, that know what God says, because in the midst of my trials, I don't want to just speak positively. I want to speak God's word. I want to know what he says. I want to know that even though I'm losing, I'm actually still winning because God's sovereign over all things. Isn't that good news? And even when I'm uncertain, God's certain. So I don't need just positive thinking. I need to put my faith and my trust in God, and it's so much better. Number five, you never take any chances. You never take any chances. I mean, in life, it comes down to a point where you go, okay, I've stayed safe for so long, I'm going to have to take a risk. It's like way back in the Old Testament, there's these three beggars, and they said to themselves, we'll either stay here and die, or we go out there where the enemy might be, and we might live. And guess what? They decided to go out there, and the enemy ran away. And then they find treasure beyond belief, and they saved themselves. while everybody else stayed in the city and starved. There's something about it when we take a risk in faith. There's something about it when we step out in faith. There's something about it when we take a step, but you've got to take a step. You've got to take a step out. You've got to leave the comforts and security you think is good, but is eventually just stealing your life and your satisfaction. We have to step out. But here's one that I thought about when it comes to the things of God. Or maybe we're just living in the opposite direction to Jesus. Because if you're living dissatisfied, if you're living looking for satisfaction, I'm telling you this, there's only one place to find it, and that's fully satisfied in Jesus. There's only one place to find it, and that's in Him. And if you're walking in the opposite direction, you're never going to get it. Or maybe another way to say it is, if you're living in sin, if you're just living in sin, you're never going to get to the satisfaction you hope for. It's short-term gains with long-term deficits. And that's what's going to happen. And that's what we want. We don't want to happen in our lives. But as we turn to Jesus, we suddenly get what we're after. And He gives us that satisfaction. He gives us that life. He gives us that abundance that we are so desired and what our life is yearning for. Point number one. What I want us to think about as we go into the story of the woman at the well is forget everything else. Forget everything else. This is what I love about this woman's story. She had a checkered past. We're going to think of it in just a moment. But she definitely had a checkered past. But when she came to Jesus, she forgot everything else. Here's what I want to say. If we're in Christ and we know Jesus, we should forget everything else. Not that we can't have good memories, not that we can't do other things, but He should be my priority. And everything else in my life should come around it. And if it can't come around it, get rid of it. Because I want to live for the things of God. He's all that matters. She found a Savior. And He literally transformed her life. Verse 17, let me summarize it just for a moment. It says that Jesus asked her the question, 17, 18, 19, all through those verses, He asked her a question. He says, who's your husband? He already knew. She said, I don't have a husband right now. She said, he says, that's for sure. She says, I've had five husbands, and now I'm with a sixth guy, but he's not my husband. She had lived an incredible, wild, crazy life. Five marriages, all broken down, and now she's with guy number six. But here's what I want to tell you. She's ready to leave everything. Because she's found Jesus. And when she finds Jesus, she doesn't care about everybody else. She doesn't care about anything else. She's found the man that she needed the whole time. She just didn't know who he was. She just didn't know. It's like what we said just a moment ago. You don't really know what you want. She was after love. She was after attention. She was after security. She was looking for it in all the wrong places. But now today, Jesus walks into her life. And I want to tell you, maybe you're in the same boat, but Jesus wants to walk into your life, and He really will be the one that you need. And He will fully satisfy in more ways than you can ever possibly imagine. But with this woman, she told Him everything she ever did, and He accepted her, and He loved her, and He transformed her anyway. That's the good news of Jesus. Come as you are. Come broken. Come as a mess. If you've had five husbands, fair play. I'm not sure you will have, because this seems real next level. But I tell you what, even if you have, come to Him. Maybe you've lived drugs, just sin, just been like stealing, killing. Hopefully not killing, but you know what I'm saying. It's just like crazy things have been going on in your life. You can come to Jesus no matter what, and He will walk into your life, and He will fully satisfy, and He will fully save, and He will rescue you, and you don't need anything else, because He's worth leaving everything else for. Jesus is it. He's everything. And once she met Jesus, everything changed. She forgot about the people who used what people thought about her, because people didn't think good stuff about her, and rightly so. She forgot about the disciples and what they thought about her, because she knew they didn't really think much of her either. She forgot about what she thought about herself. She says it doesn't really matter anymore. She forgot about all the different things that had ever been spoken over her life. And she said, you know what? I find Jesus, and He's all that matters. She forgot everything else. This is what we need to know as we come to Christ. Maybe you're not saved today. You need to let go of everything else, because He will forgive all things. And this is what I love in verse 28. It says this, John 4, verse 28, the woman left the water jar beside the well and ran back to the village telling everyone. She forgot everything to the extent of she even forgot what she was there for, the water. She said, forget the water. Forget the water jars. Forget everything from my previous life. I don't want it. What I find now is something far better. Jesus is that good. When we find Him, He satisfies in all ways. And we decide, you know what? Forget all the past. Forget all where I've been. And literally every aspect of our life. lives now is totally up for grabs because I'm going a new path. I'm going a new way. Everything about this lady, this woman, had now changed because she met Jesus. What about us today? Do you need a savior? Well, the good news is you can ask him and he will be there for you. Point number two is this. She abandons all for Jesus. Not only does she give everything up, but she now abandons everything. She's like, I abandoned everything. Here's what it says. End of verse 28, coming into 29. She ran back to the village telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? Question. She asked the question. She's trying to grab attention. So the people came streaming from the village to see him. You know what? I just love this. Her first response after coming to Jesus was, I'm out there. I'm going out there. I'm going out to share my faith. Nothing's holding me back. I'm abandoning everything. Those people that once tried to avoid me, I'm now going to find them because I know they need what I have. They think that they're better than me, but in the grand scheme of things, we were all messes. They're just a tiny bit bad, better than me. I've done a tiny bit worse than them. But so what? What you really need is this water where you'll never thirst again. See, this is the point. It's not about how much sin, how little, how much can you get away with? They're really bad. I'm not as bad. It's not about that. It's about finding a different life that says, if you drink from me, if you receive my life, you will fully come alive. You will find a life that's worth living and it will truly satisfy in every way. This is why Jesus is so good. It's not just a tiny upgrade. It's not just a tiny change. It's a complete transformation. And now this lady, who once was avoiding people, is saying, how can I find them? Because if they could get what I have, they'll come streaming in. And that's what it says. Verse 30, so the people came streaming from the village to see him. What a transformation. And I want you to get this just for a moment. Now, we don't know this part of the story, but this lady has to have parents. And if her parents are still alive, could you imagine what she has put them through? I mean, five times? Has her dad walked down the aisle five times? Has her mom come to the church five times? Hoping that this one time her daughter would finally find the love of her life and everything would work out because parents just want good things for their kids. Come on, let's be real. And now finally here she is coming back to the village. And now she's talking about a man like no other. She's talking about the Messiah. She's talking about Jesus. And she's not even worried about her old guy. She's got six guys. And she's not even looking for this sixth guy because you don't even hear about him anymore. She's like, I found a guy that's all I need. I found Jesus. He's all I want. I found Jesus. I don't care about everything else. I'll abandon all. And you can imagine the parents. We've been there for her. We've been through it for her. And maybe even if we can't imagine for them, you can imagine for yourself. You maybe some things you put through, some people through in the way you've lived your life and the way you've went, and yet Jesus is willing to fully take you. Jesus is willing to say, come to me, I'm going to help you, I'm going to transform you, I'm going to transform your life, I'm going to give you the life you always dreamed of. I am there for you because I love you. This woman had not lived a good life. She had lived a crazy life. She put everybody through it. She put the village through it. She put the people through it. She put our parents through it. I don't know if she had kids, but she would have put them through it if she had kids. And now in this moment, everything has changed. And here she comes. And the very people that rejected her and avoided her and didn't want to be around her, now she's got a love because she says, wow, my heart has been touched. I can see the error of my ways. I can see what I had before, but it was nothing compared to this. And I don't care what you think about me. I just want to love you. I just want to love you. This woman had been satisfied. This woman had met Jesus, and suddenly now her life was about other people, not just herself. Isn't this what's incredible about the things of God? Whenever you understand you're fully satisfied in him, whenever you've got him, whenever you've received this life and your life is hidden in Christ, you're no longer concerned about yourself. Doesn't matter what you've done before. All you want to do is, how can I get other people to get what I have? How can I get other people to receive what I have? Because this life is amazing. This Jesus that I've found, he is incredible. Come and see. I think I found a Messiah. Come and see. And they come in their droves. They stream in, and incredible things are going to take place because this woman got satisfied in Jesus. There's just something about it. Point number three, Jesus is satisfied, and I love this, and I want us to get this today. The woman was satisfied, and now Jesus is as well. Verse 31, check this out. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, Rabbi, eat something. Come on, this is real life. You've been working all day. You've been praying all day. We've been walking all day. We've been doing the things of God all day. But you got to eat because you're natural as well. But verse 32, Jesus says something that really grabs attention. Jesus replied, I have a kind of food you know nothing about. Wow. Verse 33, did someone bring him food when we were gone? The disciples asked each other, come on, let's be real. Like, I know he's good. I know he's amazing. I know he can do great things, but come on, the man's got to eat. And he says, but you don't know. I've got a food that I eat from that you know nothing about. You see, the woman was so excited and so satisfied, she forgot about her work. She forgot about the water jar. She forgot about water and that keeps you alive. She forgot about it. I don't need it anymore because I've got Jesus. It's just something overwhelmed her. Something took over. And it's like this when we get into the things of God. I got to tell you, it's like this when you get in the mission field, when you get busy for the things of God. You just forget to eat. You just forget to do the things you normally need to do, like drink. And sometimes you need people to remind you, say, hey, make sure to drink. Make sure to eat. It's the same with Jesus right here. And he says, you got to realize, guys, when we get plugged into the things of God, sometimes the natural things have to go out. Sometimes the things that you were so used to doing, the natural timetable, the natural order of life. You know, it's like, oh, I can't go anywhere because I've got to get my tea at 6. You remember that kind of stuff? You know, I can't go anywhere because I've got to be here. I've got this, I've got that. And what Jesus is trying to show us too is that sometimes when you get plugged into the will of God, that sometimes the will of God is even greater than eating. Sometimes the will of God is even more important than just satisfying your natural self. That's why when we get into a fast, get ready, a few weeks' time, September's coming, we're getting into a fast. We're going to say, hey, food can go out the window because we're going to be satisfied for a short season on the things of God only. We're going to continue to drink. But in terms of food, we're going to say, body, I know you want it. I know you crave for it. Natural self, I know you have to have it. But for right now, I'm not giving it to you. I want to be fully satisfied by the things of God. Jesus got in a place with his Father where he said, hey, in the will of God, he fully satisfies me. In the will of God, I even forget being hungry. In the will of God, I get nourished by other things. And this is what he says. In verse 34, Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. Wow. Joy was sustaining him. Joy was literally fulfilling him. And I want to just grab our attention just for a moment because I feel there's something on this for some of us where we've got to realize that the reason why we haven't stepped into some of the things of God is because our routines are too rigid. Our natural everyday selves is too rigid. We haven't got time. We're too busy. I've got to do this. I've got to bring the kids here. I've got to do this thing. I've got to eat here. I've got to be there. And God's just saying, hey, I'm just going to put it out there. Whenever I meet with you, you might find yourself leaving the water jars behind because you just forget about them. You get too excited for the things of God. You might just forget that even though you got to eat at this time, you just might forget about it and start telling your workmates at work because forget packed lunch. I got something else to do. I've just got excited with the things of God. The point being is that it's not to eat. The point is not about not eating. The point is just this. Sometimes God needs to mess up our routine. And if we're really going to step into all the things that God's got for us, some things are going to have to change. And we're going to have to get away from the norms. And we're going to have to get plugged into the supernatural and be ready for it. And it'll be exciting, and God will satisfy you in more ways than one. This is what Jesus proves today. And then point number four, and we're nearly done. We can be satisfied too. Verse 35, you know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. I tell you, when I read it this week, I felt supernaturally God just speaking to me over again. There's something for this season. There's something right here for us. And guys, I want to speak supernaturally. I want to speak spiritually from the voice of God, even just for a moment, because I feel a prophetic word for us as a church in the local context and the wider body. You see, here's the point. There's usually 4 months, 4 or 5 months between planting and harvest. You plant in spring, you reap in autumn. That's the traditional time. It is for us anyway. It's the same around the world. You plant in one season, something happens in between, like water and heat and light and all the good things of the weather that needs to come. And then at the end, you get your harvest. But Jesus said this day, look what I just did. I planted a seed in one moment and I reaped in the next. This woman knew nothing, but then once I planted the seed, the next moment she said, please, sir, can I have what you have? I need this. And God said, we got to realize there are certain sequences in life, but guess what? When I come, I make all things possible. I make all things possible. We believe this all the time. Nothing is impossible. And this is the word of God. We got to understand that maybe before it was this way and then that way and then this thing. And God said, no, we got to be ready for a season now. We're going to go out and we're going to reap and sow at the same time. We're going to sow and reap at the same time. In fact, the reaper is going to take go ahead of the sower. We read that in the Old Testament, prophetic word from the word of God. And I believe in these days, these moments, God said, things are ready. Things are ready. We've been at iHeart. We've been building things up. COVID has hit. It's still ongoing. It feels like we're getting back out of these things now for a moment, and hopefully we're going to get back out forever. But I tell you what, there is a moment in God right now. We got a season. And I tell you, if you're in America, go for it. If you're in Britain, go for it. If you're in Ireland, go for it. Wherever you find yourself, Australia, go for it. Some friends in South Africa, go for it. Let's not wait any longer. There's a natural order in life, but Jesus just said, I'm here, and I defy that. I sometimes have to bend that. I sometimes have to sit on top of that. I sometimes have to destroy that natural order, because now is the time. Now is the time. And there's a moment for us, guys. But there's a real word that grabs my heart in the middle of that verse. Wake up and look around. If we don't wake up, we're going to miss it. We're going to be sleeping awake, and we're going to miss it. Now think of what we're like when we're sleeping. When you're sleeping, you've not one clue what's going on. I could creep up to your bed, I could tickle your feet, you might wake up, but you have no clue what's going on. You just don't know. The idea of sleeping is you totally shut down, you totally switch off. And sometimes you can do this whenever you plant the seed, then you can switch off and go, well, it'll probably be a few weeks, or maybe we did something with iHeart, or maybe I went and shared my faith, and then we say, well, maybe I'll not reap because someone else will get it, but I've sown, so someone else will get it. And Jesus said, no, we got to be ready. Things can change in order. Things can be can change in the kingdom of God. And so let's not be sleeping awake. It's time to wake up. It is time to wake up. And when we wake up, we're in a different position. When you wake up, you know, sometimes you get the sleep in your eyes. Sometimes you're just not quite ready for it. But you're a whole lot different than you were when you were sleeping. When you were sleeping, you didn't know what was going on. When you're waking up or waking up, you know there's some stuff going on. You might not be fully present. You might be sleeping awake for a moment or two, but eventually you just get in there. And I tell you what, maybe today could be a shower. Maybe today could be we're getting in the bath. Maybe today, because when you're tired and you're sleeping, you just woke up, you get in the water. You get in the water and it wakes you up, and all the sleep comes out, and the shampoo gets you going, and everything gets you going, and the body wash, and you jump by. Now you're awake. And I feel like today God just wants to wash us awake today just for a moment and say, come on, now's the time. There is natural sequences, but today I want to just shorten them. I want to tell you, you're going to sow and you're going to reap in the same instance. You got to be ready that sowing has taken place already, and now it's time to reap. If you read Acts chapter 8, you'll find they went back to Samaria and they reaped and reaped and reaped like you couldn't believe. I believe it was set up this day because Jesus already went ahead, and he has already went ahead for us. And he says, now is the time of salvation. We got to get ready for it. Come on, guys. It's time to wake up. It's time to not be satisfied by other things. We can get satisfied with social media and what people think and going here and going there. But I tell you what, there's nothing like the satisfaction of sharing our faith and seeing people come to Christ. And now is our season. Will we wake up? Jesus said the woman was satisfied. I was satisfied because we read it just earlier. And then he challenged the disciples, do you want to be satisfied too? The only real way to true satisfaction is being found in Christ and living the life he's called us to, doing the will of God. What's God's will for your life? I tell you, there's big picture and there's small picture, but the big picture is this. Go and share the good news with the people around us. They desperately, desperately need it. Imagine this woman at the well just for a moment, and Jesus doesn't come. She goes day after day, continues to be rejected, maybe makes her way on to the eighth marriage, I don't know. Eventually finds herself in trouble. Nobody wants her. No man will take her because no one's left for her, or they don't want her because they say she's just a messer. And she goes every day, midday, every day in the heat of the day, every day trying to get away from people, trying to avoid people. Her life stays the same. In fact, it gets worse. And this is the same for us. If you can't get no satisfaction, it's not getting no better tomorrow or the next day. The only way to get it is Jesus. And if you've got him, then it's time to live out the life that he's got for us. Come on, guys, we're going to pray right now. But I want to encourage you, Jesus has called us to this. The fields are already ripe for harvest, or your version might say white. It's the same difference. The harvest is right there. And I feel we're in a Kairos moment in the world, in general, right here, right now, in this country, in your country, we're right here where Jesus says you're going to sow and reap in the same instance, or you're going to reap where you haven't even sown because someone else has done that for you. But it is time to wake up and not be sleeping awake or not be sleeping on the job. It's time to wake up. Prophetic word from the heart of God to grab our attention. Come on, we're going to pray. Lord, I thank you today for everybody that's tuned in, and I pray you really are grabbing our attention. We won't be satisfied in the things of God. We won't be satisfied any other way. So I pray today for someone at home, maybe someone someone watching online and say, hey, I'm not satisfied. I'm like the woman at the well. I'm looking for Jesus. Well, I pray, Jesus, right now you'd walk into their lives. I pray right now you'd walk into their lives, and I pray you would do what the woman did. You would say, yes, sir, I'll have some of that water. Yes, sir, please, I'll have that new life. Yes, Jesus, give me your life for mine. I pray right now that you would do that. I pray by faith you'd receive it. You don't have to come any other way other than broken and busted and just the way that you are. And suddenly he brings transformation. And her natural response was to go and tell other people about the person she had found. Jesus, I pray that you would come and challenge our hearts as Christians. Jesus, I pray that you would come and really radically challenge our hearts, because Lord, we want to be here and we want to be flowing in the things of the Spirit. I pray, Holy Spirit, right now, invade our hearts, invade the space where we find ourselves, and say and remind ourselves, I'm not going to be satisfied unless on the things of God. Let us wake up. Let us see what's around us. The harvest is ready, and we're here to meet people at the wells of life. Jesus, I thank you for what you're doing. I pray blessing and abundance on every family and on every person in your precious name. Amen.